please welcome Kirk Henning.
All right, well, I just had to tell this little story here because I was reminded of it. Last Saturday, my wife and I went hiking out on Estero Bluffs, which is a beautiful hike, and we were on our way back on the bluff there, and I looked into the water, and I saw something dark moving around in there. And it was different because it wasn't kelp. Kelp just kind of goes back and forth. But this was going kind of in an semi-organized movement. So I said, let's hold up. Let me get down to the beach and see what that is. And we got, and so I scrambled down to the beach, went up to the water and looked in the water. And there was a group in this little kind of a ring of reefs, about 100 plus leopard sharks. Right in shore, I mean, and just swimming around in there, and I'm not sure, I've never seen anything like that before. And actually, I have video of it, so if you want to see what it looks like afterwards, I took out my iPhone, took a video of it, and just marveled at the beauty. Sharks are just a beautiful animal, and leopard sharks aren't dangerous to humans. They feed off the bottom, so I wasn't in any danger when I hopped on a rock in the middle of them to get a better view of them. But just the beauty of their swimming, and they're so graceful underwater. I was reminded when I was a senior in college, and I was about ready to graduate with my degree in aquatic biology, and had the opportunity to go on a research cruise with two of my classmates for National Marine Fisheries. One of the chief scientists had a grant to go up and down the coast of California, fish for a couple different species, and do a population survey, basically. And I was so excited because it wasn't more than three and a half years before that my life was completely different. I thought I was in a rebellious stage, but really, against the man and super rebellious. But really, it was just deep depression and massive quantities of alcohol and drugs, and it just wasn't a good situation. Could have easily stayed in that situation, but there came a time within one or two days when I just shook myself out of that and completely turned my life around. And so here I was, about ready to go on a research cruise up and down the coast of California with my two classmates. We mustered down in San Diego, where the ship was. It was a research ship operated by NOAA, National Oceanic Atmospheric Association, 110-foot research vessel, full lab, bunk beds, the best part was a full galley that was open 24 hours a day, and with just wonderful food that we could eat all the time. And so we mustered down there. We were excited. The crew showed up. We could tell, kind of had a sense that they were snickering under their breaths because there was three college kids that they knew were going to be doing all the grunt work. But that was fine with us. We'd do any kind of grunt work. That was fine. And so we launched out of the harbor in San Diego, and I feel like we were standing on the edge of the boat, like we are scientists, and we're going out to the water, and we're going to do science and do population surveys, and probably within about an hour and a half, 2 hours after we launched, all three of us were in our bunk beds, horribly seasick. Even though we had the Dramamine patch, but going up the coast in California in a 110-foot research boat, it shakes around a little bit. I'm not even half as tough as Lauren, who's, I feel ashamed to be saying that right now after hearing her 20-foot waves in Alaska. But after a day and a half, we all felt well enough to come out of our bunks and actually do something for them. So the first task was to fish for spotted prawn. We took about a day and a half, 2 days ago, all the way up past Monterey, I think, set some traps for spotted prawn, and then come back down a little bit after we set those traps, set some other traps for black cod, and then go back up, get the shrimp, the spotted prawns, and then come back and get the black cod, and then we're going to head back down past San Diego to hook and line for ocean whitefish. So we got up, we set about 30 traps for spotted prawn, and let set those out. Went back down to set traps for black cod. Now, I don't know how many traps we set for black cod. Black cod's they also call it a sable fish. It's an ocean fish. Maybe it gets about a foot and a half, maybe 2 feet long for the big ones. And so we set those traps. Then we went back up to get the spotted prawn. We thought, okay, we're going to bring all those traps up. And because we're on our first ocean cruise and we're scientists and everything's going to be successful, we're gonna get just a ton of spotted prawns. The traps are going to be filled with spotted prawns. We caught 2 spotted prawns out of about 20 traps. But that was okay. We were still excited. So we finished bringing all those traps in. And then the next day went back down to get the black cod. We brought the traps up for the black cod. I guess you can say we kind of caught black cod. When we brought the traps up, there were, I would call them the images of black cod. There was just the skin of the black cod and nothing else. Now, this is when I mentioned the grunt work that the 3 college students were going to do. This was the part that was the real grunt work, because swimming or squiggling around on the bottom of the black cod traps were many, what they're called hagfish. Has anybody heard of hagfish? Or slime eels is another name for them. As a biologist, I like to say that I love every animal and creature in the world, and there isn't one animal or creature that doesn't have its purpose, have its place in the world, except for hagfish. They can, as far as I'm concerned, they can just go away. So I thought back then, let me describe hagfish to you. So it looks like an eel, looks like a big long eel. They're called a jawless fish. Instead of a mouth, they just kind of have a slit there, and they've got some protruding little appendages coming out, and their mouth looks really ugly, and they're black, and they're just wriggling around, and they live at the bottom. But there's 2 unique things about hagfish. One is when they are agitated, they put out this slime. That's why they call it slime eels. They put out mucus, just tons of mucus. And this mucus was just covering the bottom of these traps. And they had to come out of the trap. So college students reach in and grab those slime eels, pull them out, and throw them overboard. And our hands were just snot all over our hands. Just basically is what it was, snot. Second point about hagfish, oftentimes the way they feed is they will crawl inside of a fish's mouth and eat from the inside out. Hence the skin of the black cod flapping at the bottom of the trap. Now, before you hate hagfish as much as I do, they're actually discovering ways to use that mucus in medicine. Because that mucus is actually about 100 times stronger than nylon. And so they're looking at it for skin grafting and all kinds of things. So I don't hate hagfish as much as I did back then. So we get down, so we finish with that, with the black cod skin flapping and the hagfish and all that sort of stuff. And then we make our way bent down to San Diego, hook and line for ocean whitefish, which was, I mean, we got to fish out there for free, and we were catching fish. And then at one time, all the crew just started looking out, and we said, oh, what are they looking at? They're looking at, and what they were looking at was a moa moa. It's a big giant sunfish. It's a very unusual looking fish, just kind of flapping its way down, and they hadn't seen one before either, with all their time out on the water. And so we got to see this moa moa. This, you see them, I think Monterey Aquarium has them every once in a while. So it was just, and then we came back, and we were just glowing with excitement. It was just such a great thing for us. I want to circle it back to the rebelliousness thing, because back then my rebelliousness was kind of self-absorbed, and wrapped up in myself, and that's not really rebelliousness. That's just self-absorption and all that. And since that time, when I was able to wrap my life around and do things like go on a research cruise and see and appreciate the beauty of leopards swimming around, now I think I can be rebellious again, but in a different way. Really rebellious in the service of others and helping others, not the self-absorbed way. So I appreciate that I was able to do that, turn around, take this journey up to this point, and know that if I become rebellious again, it'll hopefully, at least in my mind, be for the good of the world. So anyway, that's my story.